So last time we discussed this Kevada Sutta part 1. So we discussed up to the sense restraint part. And you can remember that we discussed a sort of a diagram how envy, derogation and disparaging, stinginess parts. And so today we start with the mindfulness and alertness part. That's where we stop. Remember that in the first part that monk has this virtue. So refrain from harsh speech, frivolous talks, slander and so on. And refrain from killing, stealing, all those things. And those things will also come and play a part in today's discussion. The mindfulness and alertness, and how is a monk possessed of mindfulness and alertness? When going forward and returning, he acts with alertness. When looking toward and looking away, when bending, extending his limbs, when carrying his outer cloak, his upper robe and his bowl, when eating, drinking, chewing, tasting, when urinating, defecating, when walking, standing, sitting, falling asleep, waking up, talking and remaining silent, he acts with alertness. That is how a monk possessed of mindfulness and alertness. So he is mindful about all the activities he is doing. And then there is this contentness. And how is a monk content? Just as a bird, wherever it goes, flies with its wings as its only burden, so too is he content with a set of robes to provide for his body and arms food, to provide for his hunger, wherever he takes only his bare necessities. This is how a monk is content. So you see, when we go, we carry so many things, mobile phones and you know, the cars and all those things. A monk has got this all the robes and very few things, and live with that, content with that one. Remember that there is this the contentness also over here. Is santutto. Remember the santussa kocha subarocha in metta sutta? Yeah, that's what it is.
Santussa means content, isn't it?
Yeah, contentness. Yeah. So, with little things, you are satisfied. You don't need many things. Santutto. And abandoning the hindrances. Endowed with this noble aggregate of virtue. Remember that he says, endowed with the noble aggregate of virtue. So the virtue part that we covered the last time. This noble
aggregate of virtue mean that is five aggregate?
Oh. No, the virtue. Yeah, so you can get these, whatever thing in the eightfold path, those are the virtue part. So he is endowed with those virtue. This noble restraint over the sense faculties. So he's guarding his senses, eye, ear, nose, tongue, body and the mind. So we discussed that one last week. If I don't do that one, then this covetousness will come to arise, or ill will come to arise. And this noble mindfulness and alertness. He is aware that I should not be doing these, I should guard my senses, and also I should not be telling these lies, harsh speech, frivolous talks, those things. He's aware of these things. I should have my virtue. He seeks out secluded dwelling, a forest, the shade of a tree, mountain, a glen, a hillside cave, a charnel ground, a jungle grove, an open air, a heap of straw. After his meal, returning from his arms shroud, he sits down, cross his leg, holds his body erect, and brings mindfulness to the fore. So he get the mindfulness. Abandoning covetousness with regard to the world, he dwells with an awareness devoid of covetousness. So abhijja, covetousness is abhijja. He cleanses his mind of covetousness. So covetousness is that having seen something that you say, let this be mine. Abandoning ill will and anger, he dwells with awareness devoid of ill will. So he does not go into this anger thing. Sympathetic with the welfare of all living beings, he cleanses his mind of ill will and anger, both sort of removed. Abandoning sloth and drowsiness, he dwells with an awareness devoid of sloth and drowsiness, mindful, alert, percipient of light. He cleanses his mind of sloth and drowsiness, abandoning restlessness and anxiety, that is restlessness and worry. He dwells undisturbed, his mind inwardly stilled. He cleanses his mind of restlessness and anxiety, abandoning uncertainty. He dwells, having crossed over uncertainty, with no perplexity with regard to skillful mental qualities. He cleanses his mind of uncertainty. So first we have this the covetousness. We want to get rid of this covetousness. So this covetousness come to arise because of the sensual desire, having seen certain object, and one would say that let this be mine, a car or a food or a person, another beautiful person. We see that the beautiful things and we think about it. We have this sensual desire thinking. So, the Petapogadesa says the will for sensual desire has for its condition unreasoned attention and beautiful object. For its cause, a sign of beauty. Ill will has for its condition unreasoned attention and the grounds for annoyance. That someone is harming me. I'm thinking that he is harming my friends, he's harming my family, he's harming my things, and so on.
What is this unreasoned?
Unreasoned attention is unwise attention.
Unwise
attention. And for its cause, the underlying tendency to resistance. You have this. You see, the pleasurable feeling has a tendency to attachment, and the displeasurable feeling has got the tendency to aversion. So there is the underlying thing that when I see something, I behave this way. This person has harmed me, he might harm me again, and so on. And lethargy and drowsiness has for its condition paralysis. The lethargy is sloth and torpor. The condition paralysis. And for its cause, the motionless due to weariness in occurrence. And this is the physical or mental fatigue that we are talking about.
Is paralysis?
Paralysis is that you cannot move the way you want. That you are sort of stuck.
It can be either mind or body.
Mind or body. Yeah, because you have worked so hard and you are so tired, I can't move, I don't want to move, people don't want to get up from that one. And also that you have a sensual desire so much. And then somebody is asking to you to do something, I don't want to get up, I don't want to do. Maybe you are on the bed, lying on the bed, and you have some sort of a comfort over there on the bed. So people are saying, I don't want to get up, they're like
something
that.
Reluctant
to get out, yeah, sort of thing. Yeah.
Is this talking about
five hindrances?
That's nothing to do with the meditation, that you want to do meditation, but your mind doesn't let you do that.
That also comes into play, but that means that I want to watch a TV. I want to watch a drama or something, and then this is my time of meditation, but I want to watch that one. There's a nice film going on or something going on over there, and maybe the
but
food.
But what happens with the monk? This is about the monk situation. In that situation, what is that then?
Oh, well, they also have these desires in the same way. That different things.
It's lethargic.
Yes.
So these five hindrances are different from ashravas?
Five hindrances they are also ashravas. They are also taints. They become taints, and they are actually taints as well. And when you are angry also, we have this sloth and torpor. Sloth is the sickness, sloth and torpor explained as a sickness of the mind and sickness of mental states. So you can see that if you are angry, you are so angry, and let's say your wife or husband or child or someone is asking you to do something, would you do it? You don't want to do that one. The anger. the sensual desire created the anger, and the anger created the sloth and torpor. They are linked together. They are linked together.
So if I sleep a little bit every night, that's not sloth. But if I want to sleep more than I should,
yes,
this is sloth.
Yeah.
So it is hard to know when the should stops.
So the bed has got some sort of a comfort.
Oh, yeah.
So with that comfort, you feel like, oh, let me stay for a little while, and so on. So you go on like that in that scenario. So sloth and torpor.
Determination you need.
You need the determination to get out and sort of thing. Courage.
Or the bed. So this is why the bed should be hard and
that's
low.
Right.
When
yeah. That's right. Yeah. That's why the monks are not supposed to sleep on that one. I mean, same thing for us.
Yeah.
Yes. We should be actually not to have a comfortable
it's
bed.
It's like how much you are committed to get the attainments, you know.
Yes. Agitation and worry has for its condition a lust-provoking delightful. So whatever thing, you know, that beautiful objects, for example, that's same as sensual desire. But this there's a distinction. And gratifying faculty. Gratifying faculty is aswada indriya. That means, now normally we think that we have this restlessness, this is restlessness and worry, restlessness I'm talking about mainly at that point. We think that we have only sensual desire objects that we have. We do have even for the jhana, the concentration. You go into the rapture level and you are happy with the rapture. So that is the gratifying faculty. And then I want to be there, that I might be thinking, well, I want to contemplate about the impermanent nature, but I am happy over here in that jhana. Should I be contemplating? Should I go through the Eightfold Path or should I stay here? That's more difficult to get out in that, unless you are thinking, well, even if I stay like this one for a long time with my rapture and the happiness in the jhana level, and unless you know that Dhamma, that you know that Buddha said that you will be born in this Brahma world and then you live for long, and after that time you passing away, go to hell, animal realm and so on. So unless you know that one, well, you can't. So that is what Dhamma is so important. Otherwise, not easy in that sense. It is, more hard to get out of sensual desire for someone who has not done this meditation and rapture. And when you get the rapture, and the pleasure, the third level of concentration is specially applying to this situation, where you can't actually go into the fourth jhana concentration level, because I'm happy over here. I'm happy, I would like my mind to be like this one. So that's that explanation over here, the gratifying faculty. And the knowledge that is not yet fulfilled, that is kukkuccha, that the worry come to arise. That, for example, if I am going for an examination and then I couldn't answer one question, I knew how to answer, I didn't have time, I should have done it, that like that one. So it's coming up. And the knowledge that is not yet fulfilled is the sense that, let's say, a monk has committed something, and he does not know whether is it actually wrong thing or not. So the Vinaya part, you know, he does not know. So that one also creates this one. Even for us, that when you are driving, for example, if you hit a bird or something, right? Then you are thinking, I had someone who was very upset about this one, right? He was not purposely doing that one, and bird was flying and hit that one. So I... was there anything for me in that situation? And for its cause, perception of sensual desire and underlying tendency to wrong view. The cause, so there are two things we are talking about. One is the condition, and then there is this the cause of this one. The cause is the perception of sensual desire. Since I want sensual desire, this agitation is really bad in the sense, we will come back to this one as well. that we have, let's say, two objects. Well, you take two TV programs if you are watching TV. Or maybe for a child that he wants to go to a party, but there is something going in the house. So I want to have that one and I want to have this one. And so both he needs. Now his mind is wandering between two states. The Buddha gave one example actually in Anguttara Nikaya, as I can remember. It's like that one person is going to, he is a slave. That slave was asked by his master, go to this particular place where the singing and all those things are there. But you do not spend time, you do the work. But that person are singing and sort of then this person want to do this one and that singing, I want to listen to that singing as well. But he remember that if you do that, I will kill you. So therefore he is agitated because I want to do this one, but I have to do the what master said. So he's arranging chairs or something like that. And then uncertainty has for its condition the underlying tendency to conceit, whose object is the nine ways of behavior of conceit, that I am superior, I am inferior, so I am equal, all those conceit lead to this doubt. So that those are the conditions. So with that one, we'll first look at this diagram that we are so fortunate that this diagram was that I constructed under the guidance of Arahant, the great Brahma Sahampati. This looks very complicated. Looks very complicated. If you know about these four nutriments and the paths that going through these four nutriments, that is for example, we have physical nutriments, that edible food that we eat. And then we have the contact as nutriment, that is the second one, second path. And then there is this mental volition as nutriment on the top line. And then the fourth one is the consciousness as nutriment. So we have 40 Dhamma paths, which I have not written over here. I think some of you are familiar with that one. Depending on this physical nutriment, and we lead to this birth because there is this the sensual desire, and it becoming is growing, and then chandaraga, the lust is increasing, and therefore that we have this something called raga salla. So salla is that binding to this particular object of the sensual desire, that is food or whatever thing it is. Our mind goes back to that one all the time, right? I want to eat like that. So therefore there is this birth. Now
it's like when you want to buy something that until you buy and then it's like a salla, isn't it? Because it come to your mind and then
your mind
more and more things in the mind.
Yeah. Consciousness will get steady on that particular object.
Yeah. And yes. Then it's in your mind you are restless. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm actually not going to explain all of them. So we can see that the first one and the last one has been written over there. That is that the depending on the physical nutriment, that there is this birth. And there is this contact. We get the contact as nutriment. When you get the contact as nutriment, and there is this perversion, that this is pleasure, while it is actually displeasure, vipallasa will occur. And because of that one, I hold the future thoroughly. That this is good now, then it will be good for the future as well. Because of that one, when I hold this future, I get angry. That's the reason we get angry. Why do you get angry? I thought that this moment is good, my family is good, my everything is good now. and all of a sudden a tsunami, earthquake, or my wife died, father died or something, my car broken down and I lost my job or something will happen, then I go to ill will. I mean, no, I did this, all these things for this purpose, then now it's all gone. So I lead to get into the ill will, and then later on you can see it lead to hate as well. And again, you can see because of the ill will, I get the isha, envy. Enviness will occur as well. And then with the mental volition, you can see this derogation, makho. We discussed this one last time as well. You know, and if we took an example in the office, that there was one of my friends, and then my friend got promoted, and maybe not be my friend, you know, someone got promoted, which I am thinking that he's not suitable for promoting, that I am the one who should be promoted, like that one. So I am jealous. And then derogation means I am taking away from his things, and I am going and telling other people, you know, he's not qualified and so on. So then I'm actually lying over here.
Like talking ill of others?
Yes. So you go and talk to ill of others, this particular person, and I'm taking his qualities down. You know, because he's not qualified. My opinion is he's not qualified. I am the one who is qualified. The best word for the derogation is take away. Take away from that person. That's what it is. And if you look at that particular line over there, with the envy derogation, that why we get this envy? Because of my greed, right? And this greed itself lead to lying. The greed itself lead to lying. For example, person who has been stealing something, and if he was asked questions, did you steal? No, I didn't. So you can see that straight away it is there. So greed lead to lying. And also,
how about somebody, if someone lies, because if the person tells the truth, that someone else would be harmed? That you have to be quiet, isn't it?
Well, you have to, harm means that you should, if you can be, you know, if you don't want to do that one, then you can be silent. But if you were questioned, I suppose you will have to tell the truth.
Was there a story about a palace that was full of foolish children, and it was burning down, and they weren't actually able to understand the real problem, so that they were all told to go outside because there would be toys or something pleasant for them there, because the real reason for getting out of the burning building was beyond them. I think that's not a Buddha story.
I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah, for a situation like that, for an example, actually, because the kids are there and the house is burning, and but the kids aren't coming out because their minds are somewhere else. But if you tell a lie to get them out, is that a harmful thing?
Well, that's, you have to play by the compassion over here. If you are doing that one from out of compassion and sort of thing, and that's different. But I suppose there may be other techniques you can actually use without lying. Yes.
In that case, Tathagata Nohansi has said a yardstick for that one. For example, telling certain things, and you have to consider it is a benefit for me, so it is not
harming
for me and others as well. And it is something like that. There are some certain conditions we need to do. Because straight away it is lying, we have to get rid of that. But in difficult situation like that, so we have to use that yardstick to get whether I am going to do this or not, isn't it?
You need to apply that, you know, your consciousness, and see whether, you know, this is
harm to somebody.
But certainly that lie has got its own thing, because the children, you were telling lies for us, that you know, to get out of the building, they would appreciate what you did, but they will say you were lying, so you are a liar. So that part is there.
And it's also the question of, you know, if we can go to hell for a terrifically long time and suffer more than, you know, all the children in the burning building put together, because they only burned to death once, and if we go to hell as a result of our telling lies and other things, then, you know, there will be more suffering even though we didn't think it through.
Yeah, well, I suppose that by doing that sort of a lie, you won't go to hell. It is that you need to keep on lying, you know, as a, you know, all the time.
If we think like that, we become selfish. And I think it's our own freedom and not quite generous. I think it's quite contradictory to...
Well, no. But remember, we discussed one discourse that you need to keep on doing that one for a long time to that to happen. So... we have this, so what I'm trying to get at over here, the because of the greed, there is this line. Okay, so you can see the line has written, I have written down that one in English on the left side of the thing. There's a, and then you can see the isha also that lead to lying, because that I am telling that that person is not suitable and I am the one qualified. And again, the ill will lead to harsh speech. I'm angry, I'm telling things, right? I'm writing rough words. And also the derogation lead to this harsh speech as well. The derogation. That you can see that we are actually going through two different paths here. This is a bit complicated now. It's that ill will... you need to analyze a statement, a Sri Lankan statement, that paraballa, you know, the dog, you know, that it's, if you translate into English, it's something like other person's dog or something like that, not my dog or something, right? It is something like that, but that statement is not there in English language. And I was trying to find a statement in English language, something like that, you know, that can I can explain. I can't find. They have all bad words, but this sort of words are not there in that language. So, but the, this Sri Lankan statement, actually this is not me, actually when Sahampati Mahabrahma asked me to analyze this one in a meditation, because it's a, it has real value. When I, it looks like that, let's say someone is coming, a person, maybe poor person is coming, and you are actually giving him food, shelter and sort of things. And then, so when you do that one, sort of you feel that this person is mine, because that you are, I am giving this one, he is depending on me and sort of thing, that you feel like that this person is mine.
That means that when you give something that you, even though it's not shown, in inside your mind is that that person should behave
the
as
way
you
I
want,
want.
Yes,
that's
the
right.
way I want.
Yes.
Yeah, this is what happens in friendship, I think. When you are, when you have a friend, when you help the friend, and then you, and then you are together, and then you sort of develop an ownership towards.
That's
the friend.
Right.
And when she is sort of
with
doing
somebody else, that is not a your friend.
Jealous and jealousy and.
Yes.
I think that's why sometimes that when people give for charity, also and they look and see what they are doing with that money, you know, because it's you want to know whether the money is spent the way you want it.
That's right. Yes, you have something that when you are doing that.
Yeah.
Okay, that is actually silapata paramasa, deity and virtue clinging. That's what it leads to. When we actually do these charitable things, in our mind that this is happening. So, now I was actually thinking that person is mine, but that person went to the, my enemy's house. I see that. Oh, he is friend with my enemy. So at that time I would say that the, you know, that you, that sort of a dog, right? By the time I say that para means that it is others, that I was actually thinking that this person is mine. Now I am saying he's not mine. Okay? And the dog, I am actually reducing his qualities. And I'm saying this is a dog, and he is actually a man. So the human quality was taken away from his him. So you can see that. So that leads to harsh speech. That sort of a harsh speech. And then you can see there is this, the third one I have written is the hate. Third line on this diagram on the left side, you can see I have written that hate and disparaging leads to slander. That is Pisuna Vacha. When I hate, I sort of want to downgrade people, right? That this person, I hate him. Because I see that some sort of a low quality in him. Mm-hmm. And it may be that I have a friend, and then my friend later on got another friend. And then I look at that friend. I don't like his characteristic. There is something wrong. Maybe his physical body. There is something, you know, mouth went some other way around or something like that one. Some sort of a thing. And bullying and harassment is happening on that one as well in schools and sort of thing. So that I want to separate my friend from that friend's friend. So I'm making him belittle, you know, the other friend, and he hasn't got this is bad. What I'm trying to separate, I want to keep my friend, I want to separate the other person, what I'm using to separate that person is he's one of those unskilled states, his behavior, a bad behavior. He may be for a minute said a certain bad word or something, that's good enough for me because I'm picking up on that one, his akusal, unskilled states that he has got. And unskilled states of his body, for example, you know, the defects in his body. So, we are using that one. Now, that's, you are fine with that particular one, but you can see because of the one, you are doing this vachisankara, you know, verbal formations.
Yeah, isn't this common, like, when you want to maintain your virtue, when you see somebody else is not doing that, then you get some sort of a feeling for that person because he's not doing.
Yes, yeah. Yes.
So, I mean, isn't it hard to control that? I mean, it's quite common to feel.
It's hard to control.
Well, yeah, if you understand this diagram. Yeah.
Yeah, but in that way, actually, because when Maya said that, actually, because even though that person doesn't do the good things, but we are picking on what they don't do. But in a way, we can, if we want that person to change, we can do it in a different way, isn't it?
No, it's not the way. The way here is, just because I have virtue, I should not put myself above.
Mm-hmm.
That is the cause of this one. I am putting myself above. So this is that I am above and he is below. Mm. So that is disparaging. Mm.
That is so due to conceit, right?
Conceit. Yeah, it coming from conceit. Atimana. The arrogance that you have. Going to the mental volition, that part, end of that one is what you call is atimana. You know that the diagram that probably you had that one in your hand.
Mm. But how do you then, if we ask somebody to, okay, we'll tell somebody that we are having this discussion over here, why don't you come, we are going. You know, that's how...
Actually, you are practicing something and you are doing it and you are persuading others to do that, mm-hmm. That's fine. Buddha said that is completely okay and it is good, mm-hmm. If you are doing that one. It is really good. And as a result of that one, you will get, when you, even if you are a monk, you get all the other monks. You know, you get a big crowd as well.
But sometimes people get guilty conscience when you say something to some people. And when
who get the guilty conscience?
The person, whoever.
Oh, that's whoever. Okay. That's trifling. Buddha said this is nothing to worry about. It is nothing to worry about. It is okay. You are doing this one completely for his good. You know,
but
that
if we feel unhappy about the other person not joining this, then this is hate.
That is bad. That is because you are actually putting yourself above, yes. And that person below.
Yes.
So that sort of thing. So, because of that, this combination, you can see you are actually doing this slander. I want to separate. I want to separate him from me. Now, this is so bad when it is actually coming to you yourself. That is, let's say you have in your leg a wound or something which cannot be cured. You have cancer or something in your body. And I am angry. I hate I have this wound over here. I want to separate it from my body. So, see that you are now separating you yourself, part of your body, with the anger. So, that is that bad. And these three things together, that is lying, harsh speech and slander, is actually called moha, the delusion. These three alone is called delusion. And that delusion lead to frivolous talk. That delusion leads to frivolous talk. That I talk about that certain person, a certain person's body, a part of his body, that this place is so and so. Maybe I'm talking about king, and you know the queen is such, army is like that one, and so on. Now you can see the line lead to harsh speech. I got the line, and then I got the harsh speech. And harsh speech go to slander. So there is a connection between those three as well. I lie, and then I have lying, and then harsh speech, and then coming back to slander. And all three then lead to frivolous talk. Now you can see that I have some red lines. I will explain that one later on. And all those things lead to, we just discussed something about that if I have the sickness also I want to separate as well in the body. Now if you put this one in a sort of a 3D form, you can see it's a pyramid. And there are two pyramids. One pyramid starting with the greed, and the bottom of the pyramid you have got the musavada. The lying, and pisunamancha is that slander, and sampaplapa is frivolous talk, and the parusaya vacha is that the harsh speech. Those four are there. And inside that big pyramid, there is another pyramid, starting with the paramasakaya gantha, that is the bodhitaya of misapprehension. Bodhitaya of misapprehension is that this I have this virtue and duty clinging, and because of this virtue and duty clinging, that I bound by those things and I hold those things thoroughly, and this is for me and so on. It's coming from the view, that view, this is mine and so on. And you can see that there are these joining things, the hate and ill will. So you can see the hate, what we just discussed in that pyramid, the line hate leads to pisunaya vacha, that is slander, and then the ill will lead to parusaya vacha, that is this harsh speech. And then the machirya is the stinginess, and isha is envy. They are also leading to that machirya is leading to samprapalapa, that I am actually having these frivolous talks. You know that the people are machiri stinginess. There are five kind of stinginess, right? That we have some sort of a gain. So therefore that we have these things. Some people, the stock market went up and then he got some money and then he's talking about it. I got a job and I'm talking about my job, right? And maybe a house, my house is bigger and so on, and talking about that. Some people talk about their family. My father's father and so on, they are so and so, and you know that high class, you know, sort of thing.
Is it also stinginess?
Well, you get the stinginess, because of the stinginess, then you actually talk about these things. Then you get the frivolous talks, you get the stinginess first,
yeah.
Stinginess because of that having if you remember Mahanidana Sutra, the course, discourse that we discussed over there, that you having obtained something and then you have so much desire about that, and then you possess that one.
Yeah.
And having those, no, mana is coming later on. This one leads to those things later on. So then you get, I'm talking rubbish. I'm talking about that, let's say I learn something. Having learned something, then I'm putting that one on the top of everything. And then I talk about it.
Is it like boasting?
Yes. So boasting is coming out under sampapalapa, frivolous talk. So you can see that this thing over here as a pyramid. You can see that there is this a machine, sort of a machine. What is my machine? I'm producing these words, right? Lying, harsh speech, frivolous talks, and slander. What are they? Vitakka, vichara. Initial application, sustained application. Vitakka, vichara is the one we are talking about over here. But you can see it is now, it's powering something. When I do that one, I can keep on applying the initial application, sustained application. I keep on talking. When I talk, I keep on talking. So you can see that when I am blaming someone, I can keep on blaming him with my words. You know, all the things are coming up. There's some sort of a power.
Thinking as well. So this
is... Well, the thinking produces that whole process. With my ill will and all those things, the think about those four main things, or six main things, ill will and the hate, and the envy and stinginess, the derogation and disparaging, produces those four. They are the main and key things.
By looking at this pyramid, it is originated from abhijja, it is the top, and then intermediate level action or sanskara, which is what we call six, that isha, all sort of hate and all sort of thing. And finally we produce the final sanskara, which is vati sanskara. And so these
formations are sanskara. Volitional formations means it includes mind ones and the verbal ones. Here we are not talking about bodily ones yet. It's not in this diagram. Verbal and mental.
Yes, sir.
Abhijja, mental. Ill will, mental. And the harming, mental. They are in this diagram.
Actually, I was thinking on the other day, because before we knew about Dhamma, we didn't realize that vitakka vichara was happening within us. On the other day, at the work actually, because I wanted to do something, by the time I get to start this work, I have been talking to myself within my mind. Actually, the whole process, I have been talking to myself. I mean, and then I didn't realize that. I did realize that at that time. So I was talking to myself. I was planning how to tell the things. I was planning how to write things.
Yes.
And it's within yourself, you are talking to you.
Completely.
But you don't realize it unless you know Dhamma, actually. Because you think it is the...
Process. It is. It is that. It is the purpose of this discussion. Completely, it is the purpose of discussion, because this is what you are taking. Why you are taking down from your meditation and concentration? And concentration and all those things. Because of this, this is the machine. Thus, it occurs to you, this is the car. This diagram is the car.
Yeah.
I was amazed when Sahampati Mahabrahma said this one. Look at as a car. What are the wheels? You can see there are two wheels in the front. Wheel one, physical nutriment. Front wheels. The wheel two is the birth. birth is the wheel. So there are two wheels. You can see the food and the body, right? Over there. And with coveting and greed, so this whole thing rotate. You see that the middle is the axis. It is actually the propeller shaft of the vehicle. Right? And this coveting and greed is the universal joint. I don't know, probably you do not, some people know about the universal joint that's supplying the power to these, you know, two wheels over there. That's the universal joint over here. Hmm? And the feeling is the control system. And steering wheel is the contact, as nutriment is the steering wheel. Right? Where you decide where you'll be going. Going to this new Kablikara or this side, nice thing, and I go on that one. Hmm? And your brake is the perception. Because these are actually rotating, these wheels are rotating. This engine is the front engineered rear drive. This drive, rear drive machine. Mm-hmm. It has got six wheels. In the front there are two wheels. Four wheels back are the line, half speed, frivolous stroke and slander. Four wheels behind, two wheels in the front. And you can see the body tie of misapprehension. What is the body tie of misapprehension? Is that, you know, having done some sort of a volitional formation, that the duty and virtue clinging, and you be born in a certain environment, to this society or something like that, one as a human form and so on. And who are they? They are inside the car. And you are on the wheel. You are the person driving. So the body tie of covetousness, the body tie of misapprehension is you are the person driving and all others in the car at that time. It's always not you, your wife and children in over there. Okay? Your office, the one that you guys were talking about little while ago, the office people, they are there at that time. So they are driving you nuts here and there to get the ill will. So you go wheel this way, that way and so on. Hmm? And because of that one, we have talks inside that, as you said, that I was thinking all the time, I have this line. Sometimes I have this harsh speech inside my mind, and this is not right, this is, you know, this is person is bad and so on. And all those four wheels are behind, it's rotating as well. Hmm? So, since they are rotating the way, that first we start with the coveting and greed. So, over here that I have the my engine is in the front, you know, that my lobe, greedness is in the front. And I am trying to drive with this one, but these people are not letting me go in this particular way. Because I want to go in this place, that these people are driving me nuts, because they are actually telling me certain things, the people inside my car. That means my office people at that time, or maybe persons driving in front of me, he's now inside my car, he's not driving correctly, so I am actually blaming him and so on. So I have this verbal formations inside it. And so what breaks this thing? When I do this one, this is propelling, this is rotating. Where it is actually rotating? It is rotating to that this physical nutriment side, because that I have this the raga, the lust. So it is axis is rotating like this. And it's propelled to over here. And then I have this line, half switch, reverse stroke and slander. And when it goes over there, then it takes over. And now these wheels are actually working and I'm going. So this power is given to this one. My vitakka vichar, the initial application, sustained application, is actually controlling these parts. I keep on applying, and this one, since these wheels are actually now rotating, I'm going forward. I'm going forward with the lust, and then I'm going forward with my view. My view actually telling me, you know, this is not right, this is right, and so on and so on. So I keep on doing this. What breaks these two? Now, you very hard for you to break. Let's say you are angry sometime, and I don't want to be angry. I want to stop this one because I understand that it's harming me, but I can't stop. Because my mind is telling this person is harming me, he's going to harm me, and so on. So that these back four wheels are now working, and it is pushing this one. So the perception is the one that breaks it. Perception is the break. It breaks. These are written in red lines over here. You can see the perception. If you change the perception, this person is not harming me, as soon as do that, comes gone. And if you see the lust sort of thing, and this thing, particular thing, is going to harm me, because Buddha said that this sensual desire is so bad, is Mara's thing, you know, the evil thing, and you can stop it, because that if I know I can go to hell because of this thing, then I can stop with that one. So perception, that's why Buddha is asking us to develop perception of impermanence, perception of not self, perception of suffering. If you take Girimananda Sutra, there are 10 perceptions. So those are the breaks. So back wheels now don't rotate. So therefore, no power is coming from that side. So it's not propelled. And what is happening with this one? You can see that we have aging. You can see your tire is going to wear out. Your body is going to wear out. Right? So there is this aging over here. And then sickness. The engine, you know, the body of the car is now bad as well. The bottom part you can see. And the death. So death will stop it. Death stop for this particular temporary.
And so that leads to that four wheel push you towards the next birth as well.
Right? It is.
And during this birth as well as next birth as well.
Avidya Paccaya Sankara. So you can see these are the sanskar, the volitional formation. And the moha is the ignorance. So this is the fuel. This fuel is now working. Moha is working. And then you have the verbal formations over here. And these verbal formations lead to that one. I tell you the power of this thing. If you really understand that well, because of the envy and the derogation, I am having this line and half speech. If you try to remember this diagram, you can see that the coveting is actually doing this line part. And in the Isha. Isha is leading to this half speech over here. Isha lead to the line over here. And then the Makka, derogation, and the ill will in combination lead to the half speech. Ill will and the derogation lead to the half speech. Now you can see, these are my vitakka vichara, these are my initial application. I do this one because of this. And if I stop this one, this is the mind with that concentration Buddha said in Ratana Sutta, where if you don't have this on your mind, concentration is continuous with immediate result. Buddha said there is no such a thing. It's a ratana, it's a gem. I'm telling this one because I have done these things. As soon as you stop this one, your concentration is perfect. You are not going to fall from your concentration. You are there all the time. Remember that when the monks are together, Buddha said, you have Aryan silence. They can do only two things. One is Aryan silence. That is Dutiya Dhyana. Dutiya Dhyana is second jhana. That means you are not having any speech. That is vitakka vichara, initial application, sustained application, stopped. As soon as you stop the initial application, sustained application, this back engine is completely stopped. Therefore, your concentration, you are not going to fall at all. Completely stable, if you can do that one in the meditation. Only way to do that one, you remove it. by saying that I'm going to remove this one, I don't want them. I know this is happening, but you need to understand, because it is happening, because of these bad six over here, that is the coveting, ill will, envy, derogation, hate, stinginess, and palaso, disparaging. Those six things over here. Now you can see that the vehicle has got this the bars, isn't it, connecting that one, as you can see, as connected from the pyramid. These are the bars. And I was so grateful to, I was thinking how to present this one, and you know, this particular thing. I was actually telling these two, Padmasiri and Harshana, while walking, about this diagram and how to present this one. It was very simple. It's the car. It's the car, in the it has got the control system, and they got a steering wheel, and this body type of misapprehension is the one that you are in the middle.
Perception, Pali word is
Sanya.
Sanya.
Yeah.
So what is the part in volitional formation in the car?
Well, the volitional formation actually led to this body tie of misapprehension. You know, that that is sort of a, it's coordinating other things. And led to that, this is mine and so on. So you put people inside that car, into your car. This is mine and so on. You get into the car with the others, and all those things happening because of that. And the consciousness is aware of all the things.
So is the mental volition as nutriment is also sort of a fuel then?
It is a fuel, yeah. Yes. It is the one that actually keep on going. Remember we talk about the sloth and torpor that we were actually discussing and a little while ago, when we were saying that sloth is actually the lethargy and drowsiness has for its condition paralysis, and for paralysis means that vehicle can't move, right, because of a certain condition. And for its cause, the motionlessness, you can't move due to weariness. Your tires have worn out. You know, the body has worn out. Your mind has worn out in that way. So you can't move forward.
So the car stops due to two reasons. One, you stop the bad, this latter part of the thing, that four wheels at the back.
Your car moves smoothly in that case.
Ah, okay.
In the sense that you are actually not going to this way because of the, you know, that the chanda agati, that you are actually going to the good ones.
Yeah.
You are going to the good world. No, it's a car again.
Yeah.
That car is not crappy like that one. And it's in the proper way it's going. Only the perception can do. Remember, cessation and perception, and cessation of perception and feeling. Nirodha Samapatti. So in the perception, you can cut down these things. And I can keep on talking about this diagram for, you know, hours and hours, that you can see the feeling. I have the feeling of hate sometimes, feeling, people say, right? So it's around the feeling, you can see those four things are there. And I feel I'm worn out. So you can see aging. If you write down nearby the aging, that is wheel worn out, that means I feel worn out. People are saying that, all right? And I feel sick. So sickness is there and next to the feeling.
So does feeling have a Pali word here?
Feeling is Vedana. Right. Yeah, Vedana, yeah.
So cessation of perception and feeling is
Nirodha Samapatti. Yeah.
Feeling, sensation.
Yeah, the feeling is Vedana in Pali.
You can say sensation.
Sensation, it can be used as well. Yeah. So, I was so grateful to this thing, and you can see that this vehicle, how it moves. You cut it into this side and do that one, and this body type of misapprehension, that you are inside, you are the person driving, and the other people who are with you. I couldn't figure it out. I was actually telling how to construct this diagram. And now we go back to our discussion over here with this understanding. And Buddha said that suppose that a man taking a loan, invest in its it in his business affairs succeed. He repay his old debts and there is extra left over for maintaining his wife. The thought would occur to him before taking a loan, I invested it in my business affair, now my business affairs have succeeded. I have repaid my old debts and there is extra left over for maintaining my wife. That is, Buddha said that one, that you don't have abhijja at that time. So the first sentence over there is referring to the covetousness. So you can see that he cleanses his mind from those five. So the first one is the abhijja. So what is this one means? Now I am actually driving my vehicle. You know that because of the greed, I'm going for this physical nutriment, and then as going through that path, you can see I'm coming to this stinginess, labor, machirya, the gains, and having going there, you know, I'm actually. Now I have to have so much trouble because I have to protect my, you know, properties and sort of thing. I'm so much. So it's like a loan or something that I have taken. And if you think about that I don't have that, then I am going for thought of renunciation, giving up. And how much happiness I have if I get $50 or something? Very little, right? Even $1,000 or $100,000, it's not much. Even a million, if you ask a millionaire, well, is a millionaire a really big thing? No, because you got a million and now he understands I need billions. And you get billions, he will say trillions. He never satisfied and it's very little and much trouble. But if you get out of that one, if you are not driving your vehicle in that direction and you go for renunciation, now you can see I get the immense happiness, rapture, as much as I want, anytime I want. I just close my eyes. That's it. I get the rapture. So you can see that he previously had a loan, taken a loan, and you know, it's like that borrowed goods and things like that. And then if you get out of it, you have plenty of happiness and you can even share like that. And then the second one is regarding ill wills. Now suppose that a man falls sick, in pain and seriously ill. He does not enjoy his meals and there is no strength in his body. Because that ill will is something like that. If he is ill, he has got the anger, he does not listen to anybody. You know, the people are coming and telling a monk may be preaching Dhamma. He doesn't want to listen to that one. It's like I'm sick because of that one. Even the honey was given, I don't feel tasty. Like that. So you can see. So as time passes, he eventually recovers from that sickness. He enjoys meals and there is strength in his body. Now the honey is given, he can actually take it and he feels so good. And the thought would occur to him, before I was sick, now I am recovered from that sickness. I enjoy my meals. And there is strength in my body. Because of that, he would experience joy and happiness. Now suppose that a man is bound in prison. At time passes, he eventually is released from that bondage, safe and sound, with no loss of property. The thought would occur to him, before I was bound in prison, now I am released from that bondage, safe and sound, with no loss of property. Because of that, he would experience joy and happiness. Because that he may be in the prison and let's say there was some sort of an entertainment happening and someone when he comes out, the singing was really good, he's not interested because he did not see it, right? Likewise, when the monk is sort of preaching Dhamma or something, he is in the lethargic condition, his mind does not move. So, Sloth and Tope is like that.
Now suppose that a man is a slave, subject to others, not subject to himself, unable to go where he likes. That if you take that example about that particular slave, that that he was asked to go and set up chairs or something while the singing is going on, he want to listen, I can't listen because that my master said I will be killed. Like that one. If time passes, he eventually released from that slavery, subject to himself, not subject to others, freed, able to go where he likes. The thought would occur to him, before I was a slave, now I am released from that slavery, subject to myself, not subject to others, freed, able to go where I like. Because of that, he would experience joy and happiness. Remember, I was telling even for the concentration, the third jhana level, then you need to get out. I mean, don't afraid that going to the third jhana will stuck you there and you can't actually kind of get out of it. It is that you have the strength, right, but by that time to get out, because you've been a Buddhist and you don't know about the impermanent nature of these things. But it can hold you from going from third to fourth, because I know it happened to me for a long time. Now suppose that a man carrying the money and goods is traveling by a road. So the previous one was the restless and worry. Suppose that a man carrying money and goods is traveling by a road through desolate country. So that means that people are not there in that area, in that road. And he is traveling. Now, when he put one foot, he might hear a sound, for example. Then he might think robbers are there. So he take the foot back. Like that one, if you are not knowing this Dhamma thoroughly, oh, is this right? Even this diagram, you might be thinking, somebody might think, oh, is this right? Is it a car? Is, you know, sort of thing. And so he's not going forward. But if you go forward, if you understand it, then you go forward. So, as time passes, he eventually emerges from that desolate country, safe and sound, with no loss of property. The thought would occur to him, before carrying money and goods, I was traveling by a road through a desolate country. Now I have emerged from that desolate country, safe and sound, with no loss of my property. Because of that, he would experience joy and happiness, because he get out of this one. In the same way, when these five hindrances are not abandoned in him, the monk regards it as a debt, sickness, a prison, slavery, a road through a desolate country. But when these five hindrances are abandoned in himself, he regards it as unindebtedness, good health, release from prison, freedom, place of security. Seeing that they have been abandoned within him, he becomes glad. Glad he becomes enraptured. Enraptured, his body grows tranquil. His body tranquil, he is sensitive to pleasure. Feeling pleasure, his mind becomes concentrated. So you can see that that's how one would get out of these hindrances and go into the concentration. So imagine this vehicle, you know, the driving the vehicle in this way. So he is now quite withdrawn from sensuality, withdrawn from unskilled mental qualities. He enters and remains in the first jhana. Rapture and pleasure born from withdrawal, accompanied by direct thought and evaluation. That's the initial application, sustained application now we are talking about. So that means this vitakka vichara over here, the verbal formations that we are talking about, the back wheels. The back wheels, what are they? They were the lying, harsh speech, frivolous talk, slander. And my thinking led to that one. This person harming me and all those things, ill thinking. So I don't have those things anymore. I'm not applying to these things. I'm rather thinking renunciation, you know, for everything. Renunciation for sense pleasures. I'm not driving my vehicle in this direction for these things. And I'm not letting others inside the car also driving me nuts in that sense. And the people in my office, they behave differently. They are inside my car at that time. All the time we have a couple of people around me, because I'm thinking about this person, think that this person next to me in my car. So that person is driving me now, let's go this way, let's go that way, that's what he's trying to tell. So, and I want to separate, and disparaging means that I want to throw him out of the car, right? Like that one, that's why I have my separation. Remember that we are trying to separate friends from friends as well. So when you do that one, he permeates. So he's going to he permeates and pervades, suffuses and fills this very body with rapture and pleasure born from withdrawal, just as if a skilled bathman or bathman's apprentice would pour bath powder into a brass basin and knead it together, sprinkling it again and again with water, so that his bowl of bath powder, saturated, moisture laden, permeated within and without, would nevertheless not drip. It's a soap thing that he made. It's because he's applied, kept on applying that soap. Initial application, sustained application, I don't want this side. So you are keep on applying. And so this very body, so the monk permeates this very body with the rapture and pleasure born of withdrawal. There is nothing of his entire body pervaded by rapture and pleasure born from withdrawal. When you actually do that, it's not just like a rapture in one place. It is rapture in the whole body. It flows from the everywhere. You can do that when you get into this practicing of doing that one. You sort of get into this art later on. It's the whole body. It's like you can even feel that that rapture itself is going to lift me, my body up or something like that, right? It's so powerful. So this too is called a miracle of instruction. You see, these are the only instructions that makes these things. I think the next ones are the second, third and so on. The jhana, probably we need to go carefully next time, because we will do it next week. So I'm so grateful to Prabhu Sahampati for these things. So I believe me, I couldn't figure it out. I was telling these two.
It is a perfect example. I believe to giving the contents very well.
Yeah. So you can see that the three wheels, if you look at this pyramid diagram, three wheels are on the bottom. Mm-hmm. The fourth wheel may be on the top, because the moha, the delusion, is powering the samprapalapa, or the frivolous talk, right? The three wheels are running. You can see the one wheel, how these are joined together as well, the hate and the ill will. You know those bars inside the car? Right?
No, four wheels are on the floor, right?
Well,
it
could be that the two wheels in the front, four wheels are behind, but maybe the three wheels are touching one time and the fourth wheels is not touching, you know, that it's like that one.
So you can the fourth wheel?
Well, these are the four wheels.
Yeah, the fourth wheel not touching would be?
Well, this may be in the up, supplying the power as well. You know, that the propelling, like a fan, pushing it. You can imagine in various way. Well, just put it on the road. That would be fine. So four wheels behind and the two wheels in the front, and then the middle one is the the universal joint, supplying the power.
But the Pisunavacha, Pisunavacha Musavada, Sampapalapa, and
so those four are here.
Yeah. So those four are the wheels.
Yeah, well, I mean, you can imagine these. Either you can imagine a vehicle with four wheels behind, like a big trucks and sort of thing, or you can see there are three wheels on the ground and the fourth wheel, that this one may be up above, like a fan, like a plane fan, you know, pushing it. Yeah. If you look it as in a pyramid way. Well, the putting the four wheels is fine on the ground, because there is sort of an illustration that if the because of the tree you get the moha, the delusion, right? And because of the delusion you get the frivolous talk. So that wheel may be above, like a rocket, you know, the
so as I mentioned before, the cause to occur these four is vitakka and vichara.
All four are coming from vitakka vichara.
But
initial application, sustained application.
Vitakka vichara can do good as well. Like I said, vitakka vichara can do good as well, because when you are doing
yes, that is
for meditation.
That means you are actually not doing this.
Yeah.
So you are saying I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to have a harsh speech. It's troublesome for me. I'm not going to make my machine, you know, profile from the backside. I'm going to stop it. And it's so powerful. It's so powerful cutting these four. I cannot express this one in words, because I know the value of this.
Now, these four, there is lying, harsh speech, pillar stuff, and slander. And you're saying that those four push
the vehicle.
And also those things we were talking about, that means starting from avidya, all sort of feeling and ill will, so that feeds to those four, and those four force.
That's right. It's propelling.
Okay.
Yes. Mm-hmm. It's a propeller shaft. And if you actually think about the propeller shaft in mechanical engineering, they are saying it carries torque. They are subject to torsion and shear stress. Because the torque, if torsion is that it's actually rotating, that if, you know, because I'm rotating this way, the other part is not going that way. So you can see that I don't want to go, I'm here saying, but the backside is actually rotating. So you can see that our aging and all those things will occur because of these things as well. And when you're actually doing this one, this is what we are actually. Because of the hate and ill will that we do this one, right? That those things will create this aging. You can see that the aging is written over here. And it is, I have the feeling of that, you know, I'm aged and all those things as well. Because of, I am having this bad speech and those things, then my mind cannot be one with my body. You see that if you are resting, that means you are not talking to others. You have medicine and all those things, you are sleeping or something, right? As far as you have the vitakka vichara, it's awareness. Mm.
Can this same theory be interpreted to the kusala?
Yes, the other way around. Yeah, there is a discuss this one in Karaniya Metta Sutta. Is the one actually getting you out of this thing? So let's, because Bhante asked about this one, Karaniya Metta Kusalena, that is this Metta part, it says Sakko Ujucha Sujucha, Uju Suju, the straight. Straight means you don't have these frivolous talks and stand these four wheels. You don't have. That is what it means. I am not going to have these things. Hmm? So you are stopping that one. Sucho.
In the Mitra Sutta, you say upright and extreme upright.
So yes.
That?
Well, that it is applying in this way. First you, let's say today in the meditation, you are going to apply your virtue. I understand that yesterday I was actually having frivolous talks and sort of thing. So I'm thinking, well, it's bad for me to have frivolous talks. So I actually try to give up that one. Okay, so I'm fine for that one. Hmm? So then I keep on meditating or something. And then next day I actually say, well, now I'm okay with frivolous talks. I'm not doing that much, or I am not doing that. But I was actually, I had harsh speech. I was yelling at someone. Oh, that's bad. So now you are actually purifying it further. Mm-hmm. So you can see all four removals. Completely upright means that you don't have those back wheels. You completely shut it up. And then, Suvacha is that, normally translate as obedient. It is that obedient is not good enough for that translation. You need to see this Anumana Sutra, the 15th discourse of in the Middle End saying, Venerable Mahamoggallana gave that discourse, and then Venerable Mahamoggallana said that someone is actually telling that, instruct me, go in this thing. And then the Arahant trying to instruct that person, then he realized that this person cannot be instructed because of his bad things. One is his papicho, he got this greediness, and greed, all those things are there. And the anger, the ill will. And then this, when he was instructed, when he is angry, he's expressing angry words, he behave angry way. And also he's said that you are doing this bad thing, and then he actually counterproductive, he's actually telling you are the one who is doing that thing, not me, and so putting it back. And he got the hate and the upanaha, that, and also that his envy, ishya, is there, and he got the stinginess and derogation and disparaging. All those bad qualities are there. So all the things that will make this wheel rotate are there. So if you are not doing that one, you can see the back wheels are gone in the Metta Sutta, the first line, and then universal joint where the coveting and greed part, when you are becoming suvacha, the obedient, it's gone. And then that means you are taking out this derogation. Again from Brahma Sahampati, and you can see that these parts, sujuju, right? I have written in Pali as well. So it's coming over here and taking out that greed part, and then we are jumping to over here, mudu, gentle. And anatimani, arrogance is gone. And so whatever thing associated, bad things will be removed because of these good qualities. So this is a great discourse by Brahma Sahampati, that one can take out, you have another copy, right?
Yeah.
You did it well. I can't remember. When would it have been? Some weeks I came and some I didn't.
Yeah, you came to that one, because I remember you were asking the question. Yeah. So by applying those things, if you go apply the Karanimitta Sutta, you are out of this diagram, and then can go out of this thing, and then you need to get out of that. You need to admit that I have this envy, derogation, stinginess, disparaging, and so on, and then removing that one. We all have. It doesn't matter what. You have to admit. You should know that one, you have that one. And I did not realize that I have into this level until I was meditating and I was shown. It could be because of the Dhamma as well. For example, that that I might have the stinginess about the Dhamma itself, and as Buddha says, actually this Dhamma is such and such, and then when you meditate, you in the concentration, you see it different way, and then you are actually putting yourself above the Buddha and saying, well, how come it is that way, it is this way. So you can say then immediately you have this something called derogation, makko. And because of that one, you have the vitakka vichara, the verbal. Since then, your meditation won't progress. It's the stopping of that one. Because that what Buddha said is the truth. And it's amazing that this machine. I think we will stop for today then.
Okay.